The Orange FM.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who left his vibro cutters in his other jacket, Adam Farmer.
I have a jacket on. I have countless others in my closet. I'm sure if I looked hard enough, I could find it in one of those pockets. It's up there somewhere. Just give me a little bit.
So I missed you, Adam.
I know.
I did RetroCon without you.
Yes, you did.
It didn't feel right.
I was almost convinced that after recording that, after publishing it, that was pretty much going to be the end of the dynamic duo for Bad Wolf Radio. It was now going to be a one-man show, and I was just going to be a guest that showed up every once in a while. But I'm glad that you still want me on board.
It was actually an audition for your replacement, but nobody really panned out, so I'm coming back to you.
Oh, man, that's good. I'm glad. I mean, I had high hopes for Joel. I was pretty sure Joel would probably be able to take my place, but I'm glad that I still have at least one seat in Bad Wolf Radio.
Yeah, this might be the fastest or the closest together that we'll have episodes. Today, this morning, we just released our RetroCon coverage, which was basically just me at RetroCon.
Basically just you.
And however many other, you know, people walking around. But yeah, and then we're recording this tonight, which is Thursday night. We'll be posting it hopefully tomorrow morning. So that'll be two episodes back to back for Bad Wolf Radio.
Look at that. Look at that. We're starting to hustle here. We're making up for lost time.
But yeah, it was a fun time at the convention. It was a small convention, but it was a good time. Had some pretty good interviews on there. Some fun conversations with either friends or just fans that I had met walking around, a cosplayer, an artist. So yeah, it was a good time.
So was there a good turnout for Whovians? Do you think there was? What would you say the majority of individuals at the con were? Were they unaffiliated, or was there a lot of affiliation for the fans?
I mean, there was plenty of representation across all fandoms there. It's more of a, because of the name, I guess it kind of lets you know what type of convention it is. It's focused more on classic stuff. So you see a lot of people that are into like Transformers or Voltron or G.I. Joe, you know, these kind of older 80s cartoons and things like that. A lot of the people that were selling stuff were actually just selling used toys.
Okay.
As opposed to like a bigger con, like New York Comic Con, where you'd find, you know, almost everything that you're buying there is going to be in package, brand new, you know, current stuff. This was like, if you're missing that like one G.I. Joe from that one set from 1983, you know, this is the convention that you might find it.
Sounds like a place that I would have wanted to be see if I could reclaim some of my lost childhood, some of the toys that I unfortunately destroyed. You know those G.I. Joes that had the rubber bands in the middle where you could like twist them, and then let them go and they'd spin?
Yes.
Yeah, I destroyed way too many of those.
And if you were really careful, you could take them apart and then take another G.I. Joe's legs and then reattach it and put the rubber band back together.
Yeah, I never got to that point.
No.
I was very good at taking things apart, not very good at fixing things.
Yeah, but it was a fun con. There was a lot of Doctor Who fans there, though, and that was cool. Like, we had the table that we were sharing with the Let's Voltron podcast. So, and it was kind of funny because when I first got to the convention the night before, just the setup night, our friend Mark Morrell, who is the host of Let's Voltron, he had already set up all his Voltron stuff on the table, and it was supposed to be like a 50-50, you know, split. But he was pretty much – he was 75% of the table was just covered in his stuff. And I kind of had plans You know, I was going to bring my laptop, I was going to bring my microphone, record an episode from there. But I didn't really have big plans for decorating the booth, but Mark had gone so above and beyond, I felt inadequate, you know, with the representation for Bad Wolf Radio. So
that's awesome.
I literally drove straight from the con to the mall, which was about to close, ran in, found as much Doctor Who stuff as I could find, and bought a few items just to kind of decorate the table a little bit. Went and printed up a placard for the show and all that stuff. So I think it turned out okay. You saw pictures. Were you okay?
I did. I was actually surprised. I saw it and I did not realize that you had so much Doctor Who stuff to put on the table, but now it makes sense. Did you hit up my favorite Doctor Who store now, Hot Topic?
I did go to the mall that is closest to me doesn't have a Hot Topic. They have a Spencer's Gifts.
Okay.
Which actually didn't have anything Doctor Who. I was surprised.
Yeah, I've never had luck there.
I asked them, do you have anything Doctor Who? And the lady showed me this like seatbelt belt.
Nice.
I don't know if you've ever heard of those, but it's basically a belt for your pants, but it clips together like a seatbelt.
Yeah.
And it had a bunch of TARDISes on it, which actually was kind of cool, but that was the only Doctor Who item they had in the whole store, not necessarily what I was looking for. So she said, well, check next door to FYE, which is a big music store if you're not familiar with what FYE is. But they actually had a ton of stuff. I went to the posters area, and they had a ton of Doctor Who posters. I found this really cool poster that had all the Doctors on it, minus Capaldi. So I got that to kind of lay down on the top of the table. And then I found a Doctor Who puzzle of the TARDIS exploding, the Picasso.
Okay, yeah.
So I got that puzzle because I thought, you know, I didn't know how much activity you're going to get at the booth, so I might have time to put together a puzzle.
So that's awesome.
I got that. I got a couple other items. But most of the toys that you saw on the top of the table, those were actually all stuff that I already had. So
yeah, I see that you kind of spread out the minifigs
to match where the
more on the table. Yeah,
I spread out the minifigs to match with what Doctor was on the poster. Yeah, I got really creative with it, but but it was great because like there was a lot of Doctor Who fans there, and there wasn't any other booth other than the TARDIS guy in the corner. There was nobody else really repping for Doctor Who. So as people would come by and see the Doctor Who stuff on the table, they'd be like, oh, what are you representing here? So I got to tell people about the podcast. I had some buttons that I had made up.
Yeah, those limited edition Bad Wolf Radio podcast buttons.
Limited edition, only 5 or only 50. So I saved a couple back, though, so I got one for you, Adam.
Oh, heck but, yes. Thank you very much.
But yeah, so we handed those out to people as they asked about the podcast. And yeah, I got a lot of interaction with fans, a lot of great conversations. So yeah, it was a success. I had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm just going through the pictures again of the table. It looks really good. And yes, I can see that our friend took up most of the table with Let's Voltron.
Yeah, I kept giving him a hard time about that. I was like, is it supposed to be a 50-50 split? Because I don't feel like that's the case. He had a video monitor going. I had to tell him to kind of quiet things down a little bit anytime I interviewed somebody, just because his booth was so loud. But
awesome.
it was a fun time, and he got to meet a lot of Voltron fans as well. So yeah, it was good stuff. But I'm actually going to another convention, not this coming up weekend, but next weekend. I'm going to New York Comic Con. So we don't have a table at New York Comic Con. I didn't have the money to fork out for something like that, but I will be there. I will seek out the Doctor Who stuff and make sure I take a lot of pictures and go to some panels and update everybody on how that goes as well.
Any big panels at New York Comic Con?
I looked through the schedule. I think there are a couple. Panels that are, I don't know if they're like fan run or if they're actually official. I think there might be one that basically they just said, you know, maybe there will be a surprise guest. So who knows what that means? But yeah,
it means John Barrowman's gonna
John
walk
Barrowman
into the room,
yeah, right? So typically New York Comic Con doesn't have a huge Doctor Who presence, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of merchandise and a lot of cosplay. So at least that side of things, I'll be able to get some cool pictures.
And things are changing. I mean, with the big events that they had with the Doctor Who World Tour. In New York City. I don't know. Maybe something will show up.
Yeah, and it's definitely possible. New York Comic Con is the biggest con on the East Coast as far as media is concerned. So, you know, like I know Marvel has a big presence there. A lot of different book publishers. I know Star Wars is actually having a presence there this year with their new animated series Rebels coming up. So they're having a panel on that. So, you know, a lot of these bigger franchises like to come to New York Comic-Con to kind of show off their stuff. So they're definitely, there's a possibility that there will be some Doctor Who stuff going on as well.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing pictures and hearing about it.
All right. Well, there's not really a lot of Doctor Who news going on, so I guess we can maybe talk a little bit about the new episode that's coming up this weekend on Kill the Moon. And I know they've released a trailer for that. There's probably been a lot of images and stuff that have been released as well. So we can maybe just give our quick thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not watching it.
No, you have decided you're done with Doctor Who?
Not done with Doctor Who. I'm definitely not watching this episode, though. Scary spiders, freaky space spiders, not my cup of tea. Even watching the short preview that they showed, I'm sitting in my basement. I'm somewhat surrounded by creepy crawlers already. I wanted to keep turning around and making sure that whatever that freaky spider thing was, wasn't behind me. I don't know if I can take this one.
There's been freaky spiders in Doctor Who before. You know, we had the whole spider lady.
Yeah.
The Donna Noble episode.
Yeah, that's a little bit different, though. Like, spider lady, yeah, still gave me the heebie-jeebies. Kind of got a few chills here and there. But I don't know. These spiders are weird. They're more spider-like.
It's like the movie Alien.
Yeah.
Kind of like that kind of creepiness, because you're on a space station, so you're kind of trapped, and then there's this creepy crawlies running around that aren't. We're not talking like spiders, like even tarantula size. We're talking like gigantic monster spiders.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does look scary, but I have a feeling you're gonna actually watch it though.
I will watch it.
You'll get over your you'll get Amber, and you guys sit on the couch, and you know you can hold her hand.
Yeah. She is the one that kills the spiders for me.
Does she?
She does.
But it looks like the character that we probably talk about her a little bit in our review of The Caretaker, but the little student that was kind of bugging the doctor, Courtney, looks like she has joined the crew, at least for this episode.
Yeah, I saw that. She's shown up in quite a few images as well. I mean, we'll talk about it. But
yeah, I don't know how I feel about it or that character, but yeah, we can maybe get into a little bit more about her when we're reviewing The Caretaker.
Yeah. Another thing, and this is neither here nor there, but something I found pretty interesting. And one of the previews of the space station on the moon that they are in, that's abandoned and filled with corpse, according to the synopsis, there's a Mexican flag hanging. I just thought that was an interesting thing, considering it's BBC. It just kind of stuck out to me. I didn't expect to see a Mexican flag hanging in the background.
Huh. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I wonder what the if there'll be any significance to it.
I doubt there will be. I think it's just BBC was looking for another flag outside of probably their own or the US flag to throw into the background, and why not throw up the Mexican flag?
I did like the one part in the one clip that they released on YouTube where the doctor is basically saying, when I say run, run. And then the woman that's with him is like, who made you boss? And he's like, well, then you say it.
Yeah. And when he says, and you say run, his voice cracks. Yeah. Like he's honestly freaked out right now.
But yeah, that was pretty funny. It looks like an interesting episode. It looks intense. We've already had the episode Listen, which was kind of a scary episode. Now we get more. That was more of like a supernatural type scary. This looks more like monster scary.
Yep. This one has a different type of weirdness going on.
So it looks interesting. I like the title, Kill the Moon. I'm interested to figure out or find out what that means. Are they actually on the moon?
I believe so. Okay. According to the synopsis, they've crash landed on the moon.
Nice. So I saw the synopsis for the Orient Express or the Mummy on the Orient Express episode.
Yeah.
Have you read that yet?
I haven't. Tell me your thoughts.
It looks the synopsis definitely makes it sound interesting. It doesn't sound like an earthbound train, but more a train that's going through space. And I'm not sure what the whole mummy thing is, but there was just some hints at the doctor going darker than he has ever. So that one is another one I think, you know, should be interesting too, because we've seen him go pretty dark. I mean, you know, I think he pushed that guy out the window in the first episode. And he, you know, blatantly killed somebody in the Dalek episode. So there's already been some very dark moments with the Doctor. So I'm really curious to see how much darker he can actually get.
Saturday, October 11th, we find out how dark the Doctor can get with his deadliest and most ruthless. That's a pretty fun description.
Yeah, so.
Huh, well, interesting.
Like I said, there's really not a lot of news. So let's just jump right into the episode review with the Caretaker.
Sounds good. All right, I'm up for it.
So, Series 8, Episode 6, writer Gareth Roberts and Stephen Moffat and director Paul Murphy.
Does Moffat's name seem to be popping up in all these episodes that we didn't think he was actually a writer for?
Here's my theory on this. I think that he is not actually sitting down with these guys and writing the episodes with them. So I don't think him and Gareth Roberts, you know, sit down in a writer's room and wrote this. I believe that he came up with a lot of these story concepts and then handed them off to other guys to finish it. That's what I think. I could be completely off base, but I think that's why we keep seeing his name pop up, because he came up with the initial concept, gave it off to another writer, and let them flesh it out.
That makes a lot of sense, because leading up to the season, it's like, oh, these are the episodes that Moffat wrote. And then as we start going through the episodes, his name shows up on every single episode. So it makes sense that maybe he gave the vision of the episode, kind of the outline, and let everybody else sketch it in.
Right. So this episode kind of starts out interesting. The Doctor and Clara are on some planet, tied up. Looks like they're in trouble. And it kind of, that leads into this montage of Clara basically jumping back and forth between her life with the Doctor and her life at, you know, Coal Hill School and with Danny Pink, and just, you know, how she's having a hard time keeping up, I guess, with this. So how did you like that intro to the episode?
I really liked the intro. I really liked the fast-paced, the frantic, the back and forth, how she was telling herself, I can't keep doing this, and then convincing herself, oh no, I really can. And then she's going from swimming with fish to then going out to eat and having to say it was a freak rainstorm, to just running incessantly like you do when you're with the Doctor, to then being back at home and Danny showing up to take her for a run. And I really liked kind of that view of it, as far as someone who's trying to hide what they're doing. I mean, if Rose was doing it with Jackie knew what Rose was up to, so she didn't really have to hide anything when she came back. But here Clara is trying to maintain two different lives. It was fun to see. How about yourself? I know that was one thing last episode that you mentioned that actually struck your interest.
Yeah, I like the intro to this episode. It makes sense that anyone that would travel with the Doctor, you know, would have kind of that dilemma. This is a little bit different than it seems like with other companions in the past, where it always seemed like the companion would be with the Doctor for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they were, you know, with the Doctor, then back, then with the Doctor, then back. Although there was some of that, this seems to be a much more unique situation where she is literally she's like on demand for him. Whenever he needs a companion, whenever he needs someone to help him out, he just shows up and takes her. And she seems to like that. She likes the adventure, and she can't, even as mean as he is to her, she can't tell him no.
I think it's kind of along the lines of she's still not sure if she wants to travel with him the entire time. Like, she likes having her life, whereas all the other companions were like, hey, just take me anywhere, it doesn't really matter. One other interesting thing is the Doctor seems to have an insane control of when the TARDIS lands now, to like be dropping her back down always 10 seconds after he originally took her. He's really learned how to control the TARDIS a lot better.
I've always seen that as the TARDIS is controlling it more than the Doctor is.
So the TARDIS doesn't want to have Clara around with it?
I think the TARDIS, I think the Doctor knows how to operate the TARDIS correctly. But if the TARDIS ends up in the wrong place or comes back, you know, 3 years later or 10 years later, and the Doctor doesn't seem to understand why, I think that's when the TARDIS is intervening. So right now, because he's being so precise, I think the TARDIS is completely okay with the fact that she's not there all the time, or that Clara is not there all the time.
That's interesting, because then we would have to say that the TARDIS never liked what Matt Smith was doing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, she never was cooperating too much with Smith. And I say she because we all know the TARDIS is a she.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, so that was kind of a fun intro. And then we get kind of, you know, the Doctor tells Clara, you know what? I'm going to be doing something on my own for a little while. So Clara thinks she's going to have some time without him. She tells Danny, hey, the next couple days are all about you. And then lo and behold, who shows up at the school undercover as the caretaker but John Smith?
Undercover, deep cover.
Which is cool. He's using the name John Smith. He's done before. He's used that in a school before as well.
I appreciated that. There was some comments that I saw pop up where people are like, couldn't you come up with a better name? It's like, it's the Doctor. Come on.
Have you not been watching the show?
I know, right? And no. For me, of all people to say that, it's...
Yeah, John Smith, I mean, it's a great callback, and I don't think it was just an accident. I mean, it definitely wasn't an accidental, you know, callback. That was a purposeful callback to that name that he has used before when he goes kind of incognito.
Yep, definitely.
But then, of course, in the overconfident, arrogant way of our current Doctor, most people just call me the Doctor. So even though he's in deep cover, he still uses his name.
Oh, no, but I love that. Like, here's this crusty old caretaker that shows up to help out for a week, which I think it's funny, the reason why he says he's there to help out. But here's this crusty old guy that you have no idea where he comes from, and he's a caretaker, and yet he has this nickname for himself that he's the Doctor.
Right, which makes no sense at all. Like, why would a caretaker be called the Doctor? You know, the Doctor of Clean?
He fixes things.
But yeah, so that was funny. And then I like, you know, how Clara is kind of reacting to him and saying, you know, you can't, like, do you know you? You can't be undercover. Like, this is not going to work. And then I like his reference to River Song, where he says he went undercover or he lived with otters for a month. And then there's a reference to River. So that was kind of the first mention of her with the new Doctor, which was, I found entertaining.
Yeah, I found it interesting, the reference to River that he just casually tosses out there. I never pictured Capaldi having that type of, I don't know, recalling that relationship. Like, I still don't want to see River show back up. I think it would be really interesting now that we know the type of Doctor that Capaldi is. It might be really interesting to see River and the Doctor go at it. But for him just to bring it up, like, oh yeah, past relationship, we had this thing that happened and I lived amongst otters for however long. I thought it was just interesting that we got a River reference, and even how nonchalantly, the Doctor just brought it up.
Yeah. It is sometimes hard to wrap your head around the fact that, this doctor has the memories of all the Doctors. You know, it's not like every time he regenerates, he forgets. So yeah, he was married to River, you know, that's a memory of his, and we all associate her, you know, more with the relationship with Matt Smith. But yeah, it did seem kind of nonchalant. You know, he's talking about, you know, when she was with Smith, it came across as almost like the love of his life, but now it's just like, oh yeah, my ex.
Oh yeah, River.
So I think it would be cool if they brought her back, even if it was just for one episode. I would love to see the interaction. Where with her and Smith, it was very, you know, this very lovey-dovey type relationship. I think with her and Capaldi, it could be just like, you know, strife. And I think that would be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, I would be okay with it now. At the start of the season, no, I wouldn't want to see her. I still don't really want to see her show up. But I think the interaction between them might just make that episode worth watching.
So we're introduced to the big baddie of the episode, which I will say that I very much felt like the whole thing with the robot, and I can't remember what it's called,
Scorvox Blitzer.
Scorvox Blitzer. Yeah, that it seemed like a very much a side story to the main story, which really was kind of the interactions between Clara, the Doctor, and Danny, and, you know, the big reveal, you know, to both Danny and the Doctor that the other one existed. And
I'm completely with you on that. I, watching the episode, I'm sitting on the couch watching the episode, and everything's unfolding, and just part of what the Doctor does, he's laying the little not transmitters. What were those? They're like mines, but they weren't mines.
I don't know what the official name of them was, but I was kind of just referring to them as transmitters.
Yeah, he's laying them around, and it's like, oh, there's this big buildup, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's just like, oh, it's over. And then you realize that's because that's not really what the episode is even about. This Scovox Blitzer, the main villain, the baddie that can annihilate the entire planet, he's just kind of an afterthought to the entire episode.
Right. Yeah, they could have told this story in so many different ways, but yeah, that it didn't seem like a very important part of the show. But we get the part where the police officer discovers it, and I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, they have the police officer basically get lasered to death by this robot, and they show his like charred hand fall to the ground like missing a finger.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, man, that's pretty violent.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for kind of what unfolds at the end, it would have just been like, oh, that was violent, but okay. Moving right along. But yeah, it was interesting to see him go into the building, kind of just a, I don't know, run-of-the-mill police officer, and all of a sudden he just gets blasted.
Yeah.
All because he thought there was a kid playing a video game in the building.
Yeah. But
skipping school.
So the Doctor's back at the school, and he does end up meeting Danny Pink, but doesn't recognize him, which I thought was interesting because he had just met Awesome Pink. He met Orson Pink, you know, a few episodes before, and you would think that he would have at least recognized the face. So do you think the Doctor was just acting like he didn't recognize him, or do you think he literally was clueless?
I think he literally was clueless.
Really?
I think we have a slight insight into, so going back to the very first episode when he's talking to Vastra, and he's there's the conversation taking place, and he essentially says that he doesn't really notice that anybody else is in the room at that point in time. Like, he's always having a conversation with himself and whatever, what have you. The Doctor really, I don't think even in that episode he cared much that Awesome Pink, Orson Pink, was around. He was just so bought into figuring out what was taking place with the monster outside of the spaceship, that because there was a monster outside the spaceship, that he didn't really, Orson Pink was just an afterthought. He wasn't really the main reason or anything worth mentioning. I don't think he really even saw the resemblance.
Huh. See, I'm going the other way with it. I think he knew right away, but he was just trying to play it cool. He wasn't trying to tip his hand, and he was observing what was going on. Yeah, I think he knew it was a relation. He's the cleverest guy in the room. He's not going to miss a detail like that.
He's the cleverest guy in the room, but he's also so stuck on himself that he misses the obvious.
That's true. If any doctor could be so arrogant that he would miss a detail like that, it would be this doctor.
Yes.
But
I'm banking on.
We have a return of the Doctor's dislike for military people, for soldiers. He instantly, you know, he's talking to both of the teachers, Danny Pink and the other guy, and it's revealed to the Doctor that Danny used to be a soldier. And so he automatically starts referring to him as a PE teacher, which, and then Danny corrects him, no, I teach maths, which I guess in England, they don't call it math, but they call it maths.
There's various degrees of math. So I guess it's maths.
That kept throwing me off. I'm like, is it just a lisp or nope, it's maths. But yeah, so he kept correcting him. No, I'm a maths teacher. And the doctor's like, okay, don't you have, you know, whatever?
Go
Don't
kick
you
a ball.
go kick a ball? Yeah. Or, yeah. So how did you feel about that interaction with Danny and kind of the doctor keep harping on him about being a soldier?
Yeah, it was frustrating just because it's one of those interactions where it's like, okay, come on, we get it. Like, we understand. You think he's a PE teacher, you aren't very keen on soldiers, you have this major bias against soldiers, against what they represent to you. So it was frustrating on the one hand, but on the other hand, I kind of liked what it showed about the doctor, because up to this point he has felt very separated from everything else. Like, he seems to be, he's his own person, he's gonna do what he wants to do, he's arrogant, he's narcissistic, he's stuck on himself, he is impervious to anything, nothing can shake him. But here we get like this hint that there is something that can get under his skin. There is something that can throw him off his game. There is something that he is just totally opposed to that doesn't make any sense. Why? And it's a soldier. And we kind of got hints of it leading up to this episode, but kind of the fleshing out of this bias throughout this episode. And I'm hoping that this isn't just the only explanation we get of it, because if it does, then I go back on everything that I said as far as being interesting, and I think it was pointless. But as long as we get more explanation of this, I think it's the start of a bigger storyline.
So you actually used the word narcissist to describe the doctor, which I think is a perfect description of this doctor. So narcissistic that he mistakenly thought that Clara was dating someone else and not Danny, because the other person kind of resembled his previous version, the 11th Doctor. He's wearing a bow tie, he has kind of a similar look to him, his hair is kind of similar. So he is so stuck on himself that he automatically just would assume that Clara would be interested in this guy. I found that kind of humorous, but fitting.
I did as well. And it was one of those things that there was a still that came out before the episode. And before the episode show or aired, or before I watched it at least, I looked at some of those stills again. And he's a very blurry character in the background. I was like, oh my word, that's Matt Smith. Why is Matt Smith there? And then it made sense as the episode showed. I'm with you though. Like, I thought it was really funny that he just got like this. He was like giggling. If the doctor giggles, I'm pretty sure he got pretty close to it in this episode, because he's like, oh, she really does love me. Or he was flattered that she would be interested in someone because it looked like his previous self. And he became very much like a, I don't know, a proud papa.
Yeah, it was weird because he was like so proud of the fact that she would fall in love with somebody that is like him, but apparently he doesn't have any interest himself, but he still wants her to love someone like him.
Yeah.
So
It,
yeah.
I mean, it makes you wonder if maybe the whole speech that he gave the first episode, where, like, I'm not your boyfriend. Well, he does say in the very first episode, he says, I'm not your boyfriend. And she says, well, I never said you were. And he's like, I'm not saying that that was something that you struggled with. It
It's
maybe
more
he,
on his end. And I
yeah.
think when he was a younger version of himself, I do believe there was some sort of a romantic interest coming from him. He was definitely obsessed with Clara, through their run. And, you know, they did have at least one kiss, if not more than one. But yeah, it is interesting to this new version of the Doctor. To see him interact with her.
Yes.
But we do get the scene where we had mentioned the girl in the previews for the next episode who seems to have joined the TARDIS. So we have this student, Courtney, and she stumbles upon the TARDIS. She comes into, you know, where the caretaker is staying, and she goes in there and sees the TARDIS. And then later on in the episode, the doctor actually, you know, lets her look into the TARDIS,
Yeah.
And then we get at the very end that he actually lets her on the TARDIS. So how do you feel about this? Another young child who will be traveling with the Doctor. Did you like this character? Is this somebody that you wanted to see again?
The only thing that I liked about the character is when she first met the Doctor, and the Doctor said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm a disruptive influence." Or he asks, "What about you?" She says, "You're weird." "Yes, I am. What about you?" And she says, "I'm a disruptive influence." That's the only part that I really liked. The fact that then the Doctor thought her name was Disruptive Influence, and later on in the episode asked her, "Is your name really Disruptive Influence?" That was the only part about it that I liked. She's kind of annoying. The whole Aussie and Squatty thing and the whole... Yeah, I don't really much like her character at all. I'm not looking forward to seeing her showing up again. I'm trying to place together in my mind why they even thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I think my least favorite thing on Doctor Who, or the least favorite idea of something that they could bring into the show, would be a young teenage companion. Like, I don't want to see a bratty kid with the Doctor. And we kind of got that with, I think it was last season, where the kids that Clara was taking care of came along on the episode with the Emperor and all that stuff. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. So we kind of got that already with those kids and, you know, kind of the bratty kid mentality. And this kid seems even more bratty than they were. Like, just her attitude and I'm not liking it either. I didn't like her as a character. As soon as they introduced her, you know, early on in the episode, before you realize that she's actually more important, I was just like, oh man, like, who's this bratty kid? And then they have her find the TARDIS. And I'm like, oh man, like, why is she, like, why do they keep bringing this kid back? And then now I'm looking at previews for the next episode and she's in it and she's with them in a spacesuit. And I'm like, what? Why would they even bring her along?
Yeah, I don't know how I missed her in the spacesuit during the off season looking at the pictures, but yep, she is right there.
So yeah, I'm not excited about this character. Not, just doesn't seem like a fun character. Just...
But do you know who is missing in that episode?
Danny Pink?
Danny Pink.
Did you always just assume that he was going to be traveling with them?
Oh, yeah, I did. Like, he's a companion. They officially announced he's a companion. I never knew that a companion could sit at home and sulk.
Well, Rory did it for a while.
That's different.
But, yeah, I mean, it took a while for Rory to kind of jump on board. You know, they introduced him in the first episode, and then he didn't actually become, like, a main companion for quite a while.
Yeah, so. And Danny Pink, his main reason for traveling is going to protect Clara. I mean, that's the only reason why he's going to jump on board.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I don't think even in the Orient Express episode, I don't remember seeing his name pop up in that summary. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. So
it might be a couple episodes until we see him actually traveling with the Doctor.
We're not going to see it until next season.
Right. They'll save it for the Christmas special when Clara dies.
Yeah, Clara dies and Danny jumps on board.
Yep. But yeah, so we have this big master plan of the Doctor. He's, you know, you kind of referred to it earlier. He's setting these devices all around the campus of the school. And apparently they're in the exact perfect position that they need to be in.
Except for the one in the planer box when he put it in there and he's like, oh, and just one more for good luck.
But I thought it was funny how these, I'm just going to call them transmitters. I don't know what the actual name of them is, but
Chronodyne generators.
Yeah, that. So the generators, they're very big. They blink lights and they make a noise. So if he was trying to hide them and wasn't expecting any, you know, if you're working at a school, you're looking out for suspicious things. I mean, we just live in that day and age.
Yeah.
So if there's these little devices that blink and make noise, they're going to be found. And the fact that Danny found them and moved them, and the Doctor was so upset at him, you know, you ruined everything. Like, what did you expect was going to happen? Like, people aren't just going to leave those kind of things sitting there. They're going to at least call, like, you know, the authorities to come check them out. But yeah, I thought that was kind of funny how angry the Doctor got. And I was thinking, come on, man, you need to be more angry at yourself. in this situation than you would be at Danny. Danny was just doing a job, his job as a good teacher.
Yeah, and I love that, like, when he's yelling at Danny, he's like, oh, just because you have a swimming certificate qualifies you to meddle with higher technology.
Yeah, it's just like more of the mean doctor coming out. And yeah, I will have to say that this episode was the first time. It took 6 episodes, but I'm starting to tire of mean doctor, you know. It was funny for a while, and it's funny when he's doing it to people that, you know, are just kind of side characters, or he's making fun of Clara's looks or whatever, because she's, you know, she's kind of arrogant anyways, so he's kind of putting her in her place. But poor Danny, he did nothing wrong, and like, I just felt so bad for him. You know, he was a soldier, yes, but it didn't sound like he was, you know, necessarily like an infantry type soldier. You know, he's talking about like digging wells, and, you know, which is doing good work for people. But yeah, the doctor just isn't even giving this guy a chance. You know, he's just being mean.
And I think that's what is kind of what sticks out on this episode, is the doctor is being pointlessly mean. Like, there's really nothing else going on. There's nothing that has antagonized him to this point. He's just being downright cruel. Like, even when he's the caretaker back in the caretaker shed or whatever, and he's like prepping everything, and he has a sign that says, go away humans. It's like, that's just kind of like, that makes no sense. Why would you say go away humans? Like, that's being pointlessly mean and not really making much sense why you would put that out there, because you're supposed to be one. And then how just mean he's being, like you said, to Danny for no apparent reason whatsoever, other than just this crazy bias against soldiers. There doesn't seem to be any basis to it. He was being ticked off at the people into the Dalek, because number one, they kind of forced him to do this. Number two, they were in a horrible situation. And number three, no one was really listening to him. This one isn't really anything like that. He was just being downright mean.
And at this point, I'm kind of disappointed in Danny as a character, because it's now been a couple times that he's had interactions with the doctor or the caretaker, and he has not really stood up for himself yet. You know, when he initially was talking to the doctor, and the doctor was, you know, kind of calling him PE and stuff, he just kind of took it. And then now, you know, the doctor's being even more mean to him, and he's just taking it. He's not really standing up for himself. And it kind of reminded me of some interactions with like Eccleston and Mickey, you know, where he'd call Mickey names, and just, you know, I forget. Didn't he call him like Mickey the idiot at some point?
Yeah.
And like things like that. And it's just like, oh man, these poor guys, like, you know, they're just getting ripped up by this doctor, and he's not, you know, I really wanted to see Danny stand up for himself.
Well, here's the thing with Danny, though. Like, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, because he walks into the room, he gets shot at, a stack of chairs bursts into flames behind him, all of a sudden a vortex opens, a robot gets sucked into it, and then you have, like, this crazy conversation between Clara and the doctor that he's just kind of standing there listening to. I'm chalking it up to shock. I don't know if I'd be much for sticking up for myself either when my world was just rocked. I mean, it's not like you run into an alien every day, or you run into a robot that could just blow up the entire world every day. I'm pretty sure I would be kind of just standing back and trying to soak it all in and figuring out what's going on. But I would love to say that my explanation for what is happening would not be that Claire's from outer space and the doctor is her space dad.
He's your dad. Your space dad.
Space dad.
Yeah, that was a funny line. But yeah, so basically this is the moment where we get the big reveal. You know, the doctor, you know, who the doctor is. Danny finds out the truth that he's an alien, and Clara has been traveling with him, and he gets to see the TARDIS for the first time. So, you know, was this kind of how you imagined Danny was going to find out?
No, not at all. I'm sorry. I was thinking back to he's your space dad, and then the doctor is like, oh, genius. That's the best reasoning you could come up with. We look the exact same age. And it's just, again, like that doctor disconnect of what's going on.
Yeah.
No, I didn't expect this to be how Danny kind of found out about everything. I don't know how I expected it to happen. I was hoping for a little bit more of a positive note.
Which is usually the case.
Yeah, which is usually
when someone finds out, you know, he's bringing a companion. He's like, you know, showing off the TARDIS. He loves to hear people say it's bigger on the inside. You know, it's always like this positive experience where everybody's like, you know, wide eyed. And but this was kind of just like, oh, you accidentally found me. Here, let me open the door, take a look inside. You know, but the doctor looked just annoyed with the fact that he couldn't wipe his mind.
Yeah. It was an interesting one. It was an interesting first introduction to the character of the Doctor. And maybe it's just because this is the first time that we have an introduction like this to this Doctor. Before, we've always had like the excited Doctors. We've always had the I want a companion Doctor. And this Doctor is more, he's fond of Clara, but I think everybody else is just an annoyance to him.
And we get this scene in, I guess it's, is it Clara's apartment or Danny's apartment?
Great question.
In somebody's apartment, and he's kind of asking her, you know, for more information. You know, the shock, I think, is gone by now. He's starting to wrap his mind around the fact that she's been traveling with this guy, you know, for a long time. You know, he even says, oh, he used to look like, you know, this other teacher. So he knows he used to look younger and she's been traveling with him for a while. It's probably making him feel very insecure. And he straight up asks her, you know, do you love him? Which she immediately says no, but then he doesn't believe her. He says, right. I've had enough of the lies. And then she said, not in that way. So, and then his retort was, well, what other way is there? So it's an interesting conversation, kind of a sad moment, I think, for Danny. And I feel this for any companion or any boyfriend of a companion, because once you realize that your girlfriend is traveling with this amazing man,
there ain't like, no hope.
Right. Like, how do you even go to sleep at night, you know, like knowing that she's out gallivanting around with it? I mean, luckily, I guess in this situation, you know, he's an older man and stuff. So maybe there wouldn't be as much of a worry, but man, like, you know, Smith and Tennant, you know, poor Mickey and Rory, they had to deal with, you know, their girls basically falling all over these guys. But
and that's why you travel. That's why you jump in the TARDIS. That's the only thing you can do. You just got to jump in.
Just go with them. Yep. Just go with them. Either give up, you know, let her go, kind of like what Mickey ended up having to do, or you just go along with them. But yeah, so I just felt really bad for Danny. I really did at this point, because he was asking her to kind of, he was like, you know, why do you travel with him? And her description of it and the look in her eyes as she's doing it, as she's saying it, it's just like, wow, that poor guy.
Yeah. It's time to fold, man. You can't win this. You can't win this game. Yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those situations where very character heavy, and this very real interaction. Yeah, the whole idea of the Doctor, but you could feel for Danny Pink. You could feel for Danny, and it's that feeling of you just can't compete, but you don't want to give up. There's just no other options right now.
And even if it's not in a romantic way, you know, even if he believes her and she says, I don't love him, it doesn't matter.
No, you can never give her the exact same experiences. You taking her to a coffee shop on Friday is not going to compare with the Doctor taking her to the moon.
Right. Or the taking her to, you know, rob a bank, you know, in some, you know, far off galaxy, or see the end of time. You know, there's just even if it's not romantic, it's something that he just can't give her. And he knows
opening the door is never going to compare with saving her life multiple times.
Right. So poor Danny.
Poor Danny. We can end the podcast right now. My heart can't take it.
But yeah, so the kind of, I guess Clara's way of maybe throwing him a bone is she's like, hey, let me show you my interaction with him. You know, she lets him do the, you know, the whole
worst idea ever.
Right. The invisibility, you know, cloak kind of idea. You know, he gets the watch. He can go in there, see her interact with the Doctor. She wants to show him, you know, that she is really who she is. You know, she's
I don't
not.
Know. I wouldn't have taken him up on that.
Yeah, that's, on that. It's kind of an awkward situation, but yeah, it happened. But then the doctor quickly sniffs it out, and, you know, realizes that he's there, and, you know, kind of Danny decides to go ahead and reveal himself because the doctor's about to take them somewhere.
I'm sorry. It's just as frustrating as it was funny. Every time he was like, you want to go bother someone, go bother PE. He's a maths teacher. That's a shame. I like maths. It's like, seriously? It was funny. It was funny every now and then when it came up. But yeah, Danny reveals himself. The doctor's like, didn't you know I can sniff those things out because I'm a Time Lord? And that's where the whole Danny seizing on the whole idea of the Time Lord.
And he finally, he finally stands up for himself, which I was happy to see. I'm like, okay, finally, because in all the episodes that we've seen Danny in up to this point, he's kind of been a little bit of a, you know, he just hasn't had much of a backbone in his interactions with Clara, in his interactions with the doctor. He just hasn't had a backbone. And this is the first time he really stands up to the doctor. You know, he says, oh, you're a lord, huh? You know, like, you're, you know, basically saying, yeah, I might be a soldier, but you're the guy that was giving me orders.
Yeah.
So I really liked that. Finally, I'm like, yes, you know, this is hopefully the start of a change in this character that I can get behind.
The only thing I would say about that interaction, though, and it's even something that my wife Amber pointed out as we're watching it, it was really juvenile how Danny Pink was standing up for himself. Like the whole, yes, sir, right away, sir. It was just like, I don't know. I expected, if you're going to stand up for yourself, do it a little bit better. It just seemed very junior high to me.
It was, but he was fighting fire with fire. I mean, that's the way the doctor has been acting. You know, PE, you know, he's doing the same kind of thing, you know, repeating himself and just saying, you know, just juvenile things to make Danny feel bad. So I guess Danny was like, hey, you know, if you can't beat him, join him.
And in the end, he kind of proves his point that the doctor is, he might not be a soldier, but he's a commander. He gives orders. He tells people what to do.
And I mean, he has been called the war doctor. He has been a soldier.
Yeah. Really interesting. I'm interested to see what comes of it. Like I said earlier on, it's one of those, if this is just all they do with it, if this is kind of their explanation of the whole soldier versus the doctor thing, it's going to be really disappointing. I want them to flesh it out more because there is something that has the doctor ticked off about this whole thing. There's something that has developed this bias. I really want to know what developed this bias. Is it something that we already know about it? Is it the whole war doctor thing? Is it really the big moment in Bad Wolf and everything from the 50th? Or is there something else that happened that we still haven't seen yet?
Well, let's not forget, there is a bad guy in this episode, which is this robot.
Oh, yeah.
Back. The doctor is trying to get rid of him for good. He's come up with this device. I wasn't exactly sure how it was all going to work, but he's basically trying to trick this robot into thinking that he is the robot's commander, and he's going to get the robot to shut down. But at the very end, right as it's starting to work, it doesn't work, and he needs a little bit more time, so he needs a distraction. So what distraction does he get? But Danny Pink, who has been invisible the whole time, comes jumping in and does a front, like a full front flip somersault thing over top of this robot, which, wow, this to me, like, I don't know if they were going for like cool factor and thought people were just going to be like, oh wow, Danny Pink is the man, but it just was so cheesy. Like I was like, what? Like that. I mean, he was digging wells as a soldier, unless he had like spent years as a gymnast as well. I don't know how he could even have done that.
I thought, wow, Danny Pink is the man. Look at him.
So they got you. He just ripped
off his watch and did a front flip over the thing.
But that is not like a skill that typically people would have. And there's no basis for him having this skill. He's not a ninja. He's not a gymnast, I'm pretty sure. He's not. I know they said he's a soldier, but even soldiers, even the most elite soldiers probably can't pull that move off.
He did get pretty high.
Yeah, he did that. It wasn't like a little, like, you know, foot tall robot. That was like a, you know, just as tall as any human. And he just Yeah, he just cleared it.
Yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, I don't know, I need a distraction. And it's like, he just rips off his watch and he's like, okay, front flip. And number one, it doesn't take all that much time. That's not a really good distraction. Right. Like, if anything, you just put the one you love in harm's way, because where do you land? Right next to her.
Right next to her, right.
And
yeah.
The robot's turning around, so he's just going to annihilate everybody. Yeah, it was cool in the moment, but now that you bring it up, yeah, it really doesn't make much sense. I don't know what he was thinking at that point. He was a really bad soldier.
And the doctor kind of has like an abrupt, you know, change of heart, I guess, because he saves Claire's life, and Claire kind of points out, hey, he just saved the world, so, you know, you got to like him now. And the doctor's just like, eh, okay. You know, I don't know. I just didn't buy that was enough. Like, that moment, the front flip, you know, suddenly the doctor is now like, okay, you know, you're cool now.
You can do a front flip. Oh, yeah, man, you're on my team.
Yeah, right, exactly. Are you good enough for Claire? Well, let me see. What can you do a front flip? You know, like,
oh, man.
That was his audition, if he's good enough for her. I don't know. I didn't buy it. It was a little bit of a weird ending for me.
Did you catch the whole, or did you understand what happened, or how Danny Pink picked up on the whole idea of, like, he just wants to make sure I'm good enough for you? Like, I didn't pick up on that at all throughout the entire episode. And even in this last part about, like, it doesn't matter if he likes me or hates me, he just wants to make sure I'm good enough for you. I don't know where that came from, but it seemed like that at least made Danny feel a little bit better about the situation.
Yeah, it would almost seem like that was Danny's logic, but the doctor, maybe that's not really what the doctor was thinking, but then he was just like, oh, I'll just go with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So yeah, weird.
It's like, okay, Danny, whatever makes you feel better.
But I'm sure you were happy to see the kind of the final scene of the show. Where now we get another moment in paradise with the police officer who had been killed earlier in the episode is now in paradise. We actually get Missy as well. So were you happy to see that thread back?
I was happy to see that thread. It was, yeah, it was really interesting even how the end of that, because he looks out the window, and for the life of me, I can't even think of how, like, the exact phrasing of it. But the guy mentioned, like, and just in an exclamation, a typical exclamation, something about God. And the man that was interviewing him, because by that point the police officer realized he's not where he ought to be, says, oh, she's busy right now. And then we see Missy. So basically implying that she is in some way, shape, or form the god of that place, or maybe he was making a bigger assumption there. That was a really interesting way to take that. Like, we knew that she kind of was in control. But yeah, it was really fun to see that element get tied back into it. I still want to know if we're going to have to wait until the end to know exactly what's going on.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm completely confused. I have no idea what she's supposed to be, what paradise is supposed to be. We know she's not working alone now.
Yeah, she's not working alone. And my theories as far as, like, everybody who shows up there being in some way related to the doctor, someone that the doctor had a direct impact on that got them killed or something like that, makes no sense at this point, because the doctor didn't even know the police officer got killed. So I don't know what's going on there.
True. So, well, any other thoughts on this episode before we wrap it up?
Yeah, just the last scene between Danny and Clara, where Danny is just warning her about knowing men like the doctor, and they push and they push you to get you stronger and to make you do things that you never thought you'd be capable of doing, until one day you find out that basically you aren't scared when you really should have been. I thought that was just a really interesting exchange there. And then him having her say, promise me. And then she says, we have a deal. And he says, no, promise.
And if you ever break that promise, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Gives her the ultimatum, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting exchange because it kind of gives you the Doctor has, in one way or another, changed Clara. Like, Clara wanted to be on the TARDIS, but that was essentially the invitation. And from that point, he's pushed her more and more. And even when he told her to just go and run away from the Scovox Blitzer, she was just like, oh, okay. And she just went and did it, even though, like, likelihood of her surviving was next to nothing. She could have just been blown away at any point in time, but she was just like, oh yeah, I'll just go do it. The impact that the Doctor has on her and how kind of how that mirrors what Danny has gone through. I thought that was a really interesting aspect.
So overall, how did you like this episode?
I would put it at the bottom of my list when it comes to entertainment value of the episodes from this season thus far. I think it's a lull in the season. That being said, I still thought there were some really interesting points about the episode. There was some fun aspects of it. But yeah, I would say it hasn't been my favorite story of series 8 so far. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. The first time I watched it, I won't use the word hate, but I was pretty close. Like, I just did not like this episode. But true to form, I watched it a second time. Enjoyed it more the second time. But I definitely was starting to get tired of, you know, the Doctor being so mean and just how mean he was being, specifically to Danny. I didn't like, you know, kind of Danny's characterization throughout most of it, although he did, you know, finally, you know, kind of stand up for himself. And I'm starting to see some inklings of maybe starting to like his character. But yeah, overall, and then just the whole thing with the robot just seemed kind of like such a side story.
Yeah.
And so it was an all right episode, but definitely I'm going to put it at the bottom of my list so far for this season. Hopefully we get fewer episodes like this. And more like the previous ones.
I'd say that we're doing pretty darn good so far with episodes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we've had 6 episodes. We both gave, you know, the first 5, I think, you know, pretty glowing reviews. So there can be a dud here and there. You knew a dud was coming. You thought it was going to be the last one.
Yeah. But I had to wait longer for a dud than what I expected. And even then, I don't think I'd put this on par with the pirate episode of Matt Smith's run. This was not a dud of that magnitude.
Yeah, agree. So, all right, cool. Well, let's wrap this episode up.
Yeah, I think there's been a spillage.
There's been a spillage, yes. But as usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. So if you are listening to our podcast and you enjoy it, head on over to iTunes, find us, and leave us a nice 5-star review. That would be great. You can follow us on Twitter. Thank you for all of you out there that have been following us and just sharing the episodes. We actually got a tweet from somebody that met us at RetroCon who tweeted out today that he had found us and that he was adding us to his podcast list. So that was cool that he shared that. And I want to give a shout out to another recent listener, Jason Hamilton. He's the one that I keep forgetting. Every time I say the names of people that are tweeting about us, I always forget to say his name. So Jason, thank you so much. He's tweeted about us a few times now, kind of saying that, you know, we're kind of his new favorite Doctor Who podcast. So really appreciate that. We are on Facebook, Bad Wolf Radio. Just search us over there. You'll find us. We are the one with the black and white logo. And I'll be posting pictures from RetroCon on there shortly. So if you're interested to see kind of, you know, the different costumes and things that I saw at RetroCon, I will be putting that up on the Facebook page soon. And as always, you can send us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about the show. But until next time,
later days!